Hey, this is the Punk News Podcast, number 737, maybe. Yeah, I think so. This is Sam Barrett. Yes, I'm back. I don't know why I'm back, but I'm back. And I am here with John G. You here? Yeah?
Here, Sam, and we're ready to talk to a cool band.
Sweet. Yeah, we have a lovely interview lined up here with Nick and the Adversaries. Yeah, we're gonna play one of their tracks first and then we'll get into it. I'm gonna play Rah Rah Rah. It's their latest single. We actually debuted it on Punk News like a couple weeks ago, so check it out here.
Trolling in the weeds, they're looking for anyone not up to speed. They've been recruited, they think they'll win. Expect you to take it on the chin. They're coming to the box, coming to the schools, coming on the search for someone like you. You fit their description, they know surely well. You got brown skin, that's how they'll tell.
Peoples. Hi, we have Nick and
Hello.
Adversaries here. Yeah, there's two of them.
Yo.
Yeah.
We have Nick and we have Scott here.
You guys are from Boston. You guys are kind of like a ska punk band, I see. Yes.
Yeah, kind of ska adjacent, like we're all from the ska scene and, punk scene as well. So I suppose you blend those two in, but there's a lot of other influences. A lot of people say like power pop. Kind of mod kind of music and also a lot of reggae. That's like really where we all kind of come together, that kind of punk reggae, like just that conscious reggae as well. And so I guess it's sort of a hybrid band, you know, but ska adjacent, ska and
Yeah.
ska adjacent. Yeah.
Awesome. We like hybrid bands. Isn't that
Hybrid.
like the
Yeah.
thing du jour these days is to
For
like make
sure.
hybrid of everything?
Yeah, I think all the bands I've ever been in, I would say they're hybrids, you know, of
Yeah.
something else, right? So,
So
yeah.
with you guys specifically, you guys contain members of the Pilfers, Big D and the Kids Table, and Lost City Angels. So I guess tell me how this band came about, because you guys, every single one of you guys have collective, like, a
Yeah,
lot of history
for
in the
sure.
scene.
Well, it started, I was in New York City after I'm from New York, and I was just jamming with the drummer from the Pilfers, the original drummer, James Blanc. And we had some ideas. We wanted to kind of like put together this kind of indie mod garage rock kind of band. So we put together our what became Nick and the Adversaries' first record was just me and him doing that. But then I found my way up to, back up to Boston. I was living in Boston for like 6 years in Lost City Angels. Just couldn't get away from the places. So I kind of between the two rivals, Boston and New York. And then James went to the Bay Area. So I was just like not sure what to do. I had this record and I was like, I think I was at like a Shaw's, like at a supermarket, and there was Steve Foot from Big D and Kids Table, the bass player, original bass player. And I hadn't seen him in like 5 years. And I was like, Steve, man, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm still playing. He was still touring with Big D. And I'm like, oh, I'm just back up here in Boston. You know, he Lost City Angels toured a lot with Big D as well as Pilfers. And I was like, I want to put a band together. And he's like, I'll play bass for you. It's like, that's freaking rad because Steve's an amazing bass player. He's a great human being. And, you know, I didn't know he had enough time because he was touring a lot with Big D and Kids Table. But so we played for a few years with some different lineups, and Alex Stern from the Pomps was with us for a while. And, we kind of solidified this lineup. We got our keyboardist Ben in the late, like around 2016. And then, you know, for everybody, COVID hit and put everything on hold. We had a record that we were working on. And then we just, you know, no one played, but then we got to play the Punk and Drublic Festival in Worcester opening up. We got a last minute call. We were, of course, we'll do that. And the Boston's and NOFX, Pennywise, the Continental hooked us up with that, Rick Barton from Dropkicks. So we kind of got back at it, put out a record, and then we were kind of in between drummers. And Steve recommended Scott, who he had toured with in Survey Says, and Scott's played, done tours with the Queers as a drummer and some other bands. I'm missing out a lot. The Independents.
Yeah, a bunch of other ones that
He's
don't
a New
matter
Yorker as
anymore.
well, Long Island boy. So
Yeah.
we bonded pretty quickly. We have a lot of shared history. You know, he's a only a few years younger than me. I'm a very young man still, but he used to come out to Pilfer shows and
Yeah,
stuff
that's
when he
I
was
which is
16 and I was 16 or maybe 20 or 22.
Yeah,
I
it's
don't know.
pretty cool. I mean, Nick's only like probably like 5 years older than me, but it's really cool being in a band
Maybe.
with, yeah, maybe. With dudes you used to go see, it's
Yeah.
like,
And I mean, probably the same with Steve for you too, but then you
yeah, I
tour.
used to go see Steve, and
Yeah. So.
to me, he's up there with like, Matt Freeman from Rancid is like one of the best bass players in punk rock and
Yeah.
ska. So it's like,
Yeah, he's awesome.
it's awesome to be playing with these dudes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I've respected and loved their music, and now they're like my best friends. Steve's one of, he's like my older brother. It's like I can call and we talk about his kids and my dog and his, things like that. It's a weird dynamic, when it comes full circle,
Yeah,
it's just really cool though.
totally. And so we got Scott in the band, and just in the last 2.5 years, 3 years, we've been trying to go a little stronger, you know. Like it's not like the back in the day where you're getting in the van and going, you know, like for 6 months at a time. You know, I was playing like 200, 250 shows a year with Pilfers and Lost City Angels. So that's a little difficult. I'm up for it, you know, like if we get going a little more, I'm up for maybe half as much of that. But definitely for sure, I guess the for most bands these days that are getting older, you just want to like be more effective at what you're doing and like still get your music out there. So it's not like we can stop playing music, you know? So like, yeah, we put out a 7-inch on Ningwood Records. Tim from Ningwood was really awesome. We put that out in 2024. We did this this comp for the Specialized Project, Skank Up the 80s for Team Cancer Trust, and that was organized by Dan from Bim Scala Bim and the Specialized Project. And we're working on a record right now. And what happened with this tune that you just heard was that, you know, we had recorded last fall and we had it pretty much done. You know, it was a tune that we probably wrote right when Scott joined the band musically, and then I didn't have any lyrics, but I had this like chorus, like rah rah rah, like being like, you know, like kind of like mocking that whole idea of like, you know, like yeah, you know, like that kind of false patriotism. Then the events of the last year were happening with ICE and detainees and just seeing all that kind of shit. And so the lyrics came together really fast and we got it in our set like last fall. And you know, we were kind of like, we've been working on the rest of the record as it is with a lot of bands. It's like when we have time to finish it. So we were coming up on this 250th anniversary and I wasn't feeling too patriotic, you know. I don't know if you guys, if I can speak for anyone else here, but there's, you know, it's just like really depressing and feel like you're helpless. And I've gone to a bunch of these No Kinks protests and held some signs and donated a lot of money to, not a lot, but I mean, for me, a couple bucks here and there to some causes and things like that. But you're just seeing, and I, you know, I know people who are, you know, like that have been detained. And, you know, I know of people like, you know, I have a contractor I know, he's lost like two or three of his crew. They've been taken away. He doesn't know where they are. You know, that's scary. And when you think about it, you know, you don't have to like really have a civics class about it, but like you can just, if you just look at what our Constitution is, it's actually, it protects everybody that's in this country, not just citizens. And the fact that also citizens are being detained as well and their rights deprived, but everyone in here has due process and law, or else we're a dictatorship. So, you know, that was really eating away at me. And we had the song, so I was like, at least we can do something. You know, if one person listens, at least for us, we can get it out there. So that's what we did. We like a month ago, we were like, we have to put this song out. And unfortunately, we couldn't put it out right on the 4th of July, but it came out last week. You guys so kindly, you know, put a link to our video, and we're just trying to get out there. We're like, we got a couple shows coming up in the fall. We're playing Fest for the first time, so, and we'll have our record out, you know, probably at the end of this year or early next year. So, just trying to keep the band moving and also feel like, you know, we're doing something. And with ska music and the ska music I grew up on, I don't know if, I don't think I have my Specials album on display back here, but you know, the Specials, English Beat, all those bands had, you know, you could dance to it, but it had a message. And that's like for a lot of, you know, for ska punk and for a lot of punk rock too, there's a message to it. You don't have to like be listening to lyrics, but when you dig deep and, you know, or you just sit and listen to lyrics, you're like, oh yeah, there's something to this, you know, the Special song, Too Much Too Young. Oh my God, that's about like what's going on in England and stuff like that, or a jam song, you know. So that's really, I don't want to like beat anyone over the head or, you know, it's just asking questions. That song's asking questions like rah, rah, rah. Is this like, you know, we juxtapose the flag in our lyric video with the ICE detention facility, which Scott went down there. This is a real last minute DIY effort. We, because we're putting out the song, we're like, oh, we need some kind of video content. And I asked Scott to, you know, I was working. I wasn't trying to like make Scott do it without me being there, but he went down to the detention facility and he'll take it from here what happened. He just took
Well,
some video footage and, you know, he went
so
outside, right?
yeah, so I'm very like, I've worked in restaurants my whole life. like besides coming home from tour, you just always get a job. And the Spanish community is so involved in the restaurant world. And they have been nothing but family to me. I will fight for Spanish people till I die to the death. They're the hardest working, kindest, loving people. And just going there, and them getting demonized is the worst they can do because they are the hardest. They do everything menial that Americans don't want to do. And to pick that group of people is ridiculous to me. And we did the same thing 150 years ago, 100 years ago on a boat illegally. So I don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? And I feel like it was my choice and it was my thing that I needed to do to go and show what was actually happening in Massachusetts, 30 minutes from my house, from Boston, where there was a pastor there and a group that was handing out free food, supplied baby diapers, things to help immigrants' families because they can't, they're scared. People are scared here to go out. And the ICE agents chased him off and said, "You can't be here and do this." I got chased off just for trying to stand,
But
and video this.
you guys were on public property too, but it didn't
Yeah.
matter. They could arrest you and then it would get thrown out in court, but you stuck
You're
in
stuck in
detention or
that for
in jail for
48,
10
72 hours.
hours. Yeah, who knows,
Well, there's
Yeah.
a privilege there. So I live in New York, and there seems to be a lot of privilege that they have taken over these spaces and
Yep.
made them into detention centers.
Yeah.
That has, is in normal people's brain is like unheard of, right? I was like, we're thinking about this as we're on public space. I was like, you shouldn't be doing this, but we also have rights in America, right? Freedom of speech
Well, that's
and
what I
what
ask
and
in the
stuff.
tune. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, a thing that we are dealing with here. I am Asian, and I have to deal with a lot of I guess oppression in some ways, or like
Sure.
questions being asked of me, even though I'm of here, which is like an issue because I also feel like my community is being attacked at all
Absolutely.
times. It's
My wife's Asian American and she carries around a passport. She's like third generation
this is
US.
like crazy bull. This is like Nazi
Like,
bullshit. Like, where are your papers? And
madam.
sorry, dude.
This is punk news. We can swear, right? I
Yeah,
think
you could
so.
probably
Yeah,
swear.
no problem. Okay, good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, when this came down my docket, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And it did make sense to me that, you guys did go to the detention center because it's the detention centers are not everywhere. They're in very select spots, and they seem to be along the East Coast,
Which is where we don't want them.
Well, we don't want them anywhere in America, but
In America, absolutely, but
this place, it's supposed to be an overnight facility. It's not equipped to like house lots of people for like apparently, days, months, weeks and months on
that's an
end.
office building, like
And
a regular business
well,
park
that's it.
office
Like
building.
if you watch the video, it's just you would just think it's like you're going into a corporate park, and it isn't a corporate park. There's like I think the Federal Aviation Administration, there's like some kind of other company right there. And the town of Burlington, to their credit, they've been trying to, inspect it, try to like restrict it, but because it's the federal government, they override it, even override the state. So they have the lease on the property. There's nothing they really can do, unfortunately. So all we can do is like there's protesters there every day and I mean, it's important, I think, for all of us in this country to be like, it's okay, it's not happening to me. It's not my problem. I don't see it. But it's like, you don't even know. Like, a car passing by you could have detainees in it. It's blacked out windows. They don't mark a lot of their cars, they don't mark themselves. These, like, where Scott went, it's like a corporate park. You could be driving by someplace that could be a detention facility in a horrible, rights that like Amnesty International, that, I'm old enough to remember when there was like all these big movements in the 80s against, like apartheid and all these things. And they're now focusing on us because we're not to say that like America has an incredible history of, wronging a lot of peoples, but and it's not like we ever got past that, but there's an ideal that the question is that ideal completely like smashed? Is it over? Or are is there still, a possibility of that ideal happening? So that's kind of what the song is about in a way. Not to like be all about my song or anything, but that's why I
Yeah.
was writing it, like it's just
That's how we can, that's how we combat. Like, we can't, we don't know anything else. Like, we're not, we're not fighters. We're not violent people. That's how we create. And this is take in and just put, this is how we can protest and say, this is not right. This is what.
Exactly.
Well, the song is billed as a protest anthem. And I do think that, like, every incident that has happened in, I guess, at least my lifetime, I was like, that bad things have happened, right? I was like, there is usually an anthem of some sort or a reaction that happens. And a lot of like
Absolutely.
musicians will like, make music out of it. So
I mean,
it's.
glad that people, there's not very many that are standing up, unfortunately.
I mean, there's a lot of band like in the underground, and there's some like bigger artists are taking a stand, but it's kind of like it's hard to like, you want to like just enjoy music, and like people would say, well, shut up, you're just a musician, just play music, don't have a voice, but it's the First Amendment, right? And like my favorite music, my favorite artists all said something, like Bob Marley, he's like, the man was, oppressed, and he's singing about his oppression. I wasn't personally oppressed because I'm a white male, but I see oppression, and I can't just be happy in my life and sing about, whatever, I'll sing about other stuff too, but it's like I think it's fair to, if you see something, say something, right? In New York, you say. So that's
I
all,
mean,
not
look at
trying to
the
like be
facts.
U2 or, save the world or, like do any kind of false like prophet kind of thing, like jump on a bandwagon. It's just like it's what's going on and it's in our radar. It's like, like it's not this hypothetical thing. It's like, there's a war right now, but that's like way over there. So like people aren't really, they might not tune in on that, but this is like right here. This is like, I heard like
Home.
in Beverly, which is like Scott's town, there's like they were ICE comes to, you guys are in New York. That's every day. There's some neighborhood that's getting raided. And then, you got to take to the streets in this protest and follow them around, take video, not get hurt. But
It's kind of crazy how social media has taken on a brand new, like, I guess meaning to some people, because with all of these like ICE raids and stuff like that, a lot of information is being shared like in real time on social media in order to
Yeah,
keep us
awesome.
safe instead of like other like channels and stuff like that. Because like, back in the day, we wouldn't have this.
You wouldn't, no,
yeah,
it
I mean,
was like, the cards, that was it, and word of mouth, and
yeah.
like zines, and you talking to people or phone calls.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, you could say like things have always been like this, and people have abused their power that are in power. And if they have a badge or whatever, there's a lot of really good people who have badges, but then there's people that just want that power, But I think it's like when you deputize people and give them like a week of training, 4 weeks, whatever it is, and you have, apparently this guy in Maine had, post-traumatic stress syndrome from something, and he's triggered when the guy this is doing something and he shoots him. That's not de-escalation. That's like you have somebody with a mental problem that should not have a weapon and a badge. And too many of these people, and who knows about the rest of them, like where did they get them from? I don't want to believe in conspiracy theories, but there's got to be like a crossover from all those, Jan Sixers and stuff. Like, yeah, sure, you're hired. Like, I wouldn't doubt that, So that's like they're organized. They're like, in my mind, they're all really organized. So we, as a resistance, as you know, it's kind of organized in some ways, but you just,
I don't even think it's a
whether it's organized
resistance,
or not,
really.
you got to just make your voice heard. So you, they can't be the loudest voice. So if, like, you know, there's so much music out there, there's so many voices, so many YouTube channels, so much video content, but if there can be more of against that and for something better, I think then, you know, it's a battle, right? Like a hopefully a peaceful battle, but you know what I mean? Getting real serious here. Sorry,
Yeah.
guys. We're a fun band. We don't always just we don't preach, you know. We're not a preaching band.
Well, you could still be a fun band, but have
Yeah.
messages
Yeah. Yeah.
embedded in good messages embedded in
Yeah.
the things that you create. And you know, that's what makes you guys you. So
Yeah.
you know, it's a
Sure.
good thing. So you did mention that you have a like a full length coming out at the end of the year. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we've just had these tunes. We're playing a lot of them live, you know, like we've been recording on and off for the last you know, 8 months, year, not year yet, about 8 months. And we have a few avenues we're going down. Our last record came out with Ningwood Records, and Tim's a huge supporter, but he understands, like, we're looking at some other possibilities, but we're working with you know, Pete Protagonist and Hope and Rage PR. So they're, like, kind of helping guide us a little bit in terms of you know, advice and what we should do, because we are getting out there a little more than, you know, in the past. And the fact that we were able to, you know, we're hopefully going to Canada next year, and you know, maybe even if we can get to England for a couple dates, just like select shows to play instead of slogging it out in a van at this, you know, for, you know, a month and a half. I don't know if
Over
that's in the
time, yeah.
cards, but we can go
Yeah.
down and play Fest and, you know, do a few shows here and there, get our name out a little more. You know, the bands we are in, certainly we hope that some fans of those bands would check us out, and they have in the past. And you know, it's just about, you know, getting the word out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we are going to conclude this. Do you have any final words? What should we look forward to besides Fest
Love
and
each
your
other.
album?
Look out for each other. Listen to good
Well,
music,
we'll have a new single
bad
out
music,
probably
whatever.
around probably October or November.
Yeah, we'll probably do, like as they say nowadays, waterfall release of a couple more songs digitally, and then have the vinyl out, probably the beginning of next year. So we'll have more news of what, which label, but it's nice to be in this position,
Yeah.
where we have some possibilities. So
Yeah, for sure.
instead of a just a self-release.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Spend too much time on the road of hard luck without a break. Spend too much time on that path, more than he could take. Go! Now they say you are much too old to lay it on the line. They say you are much too proud to give it another try. So I'm counting on number one to set the target, find the mark, get it back to the start. This time I'm gonna push on through. Last time I played a fool. I know it was a big mistake, but now it's time to carry on. That time was disarray, stupid little things that you say. Now you
punk rock soul raging through the night. Did the drugs in hand, didn't give a damn, faded out of sight. Couldn't count on number one to light the fire or find the spark. Set the clock back to the start. This time I'm gonna push on through. Last time we played the fool. I know it was a big mistake, but now it's time to carry on. That time was disarray, the stupid little things that you say. I know it was a big mistake, now you got to carry on.
Some news and some things have happened this week. Weird things, I think. So we still have Nick and Scott here with us.
Yo.
Okay. So first news article that apparently blew my brain because I was like, I don't even understand what's happening here. William Shatner is playing in a metal band
Great
for a Riot Fest?
Yeah.
What? I don't know. But anyways, apparently, at the ripe age of 95, he is now into metal and has announced that he's going to be playing Riot Fest with his band. They censored this, I'm pretty sure. The Uckers. I don't know who made this up, but whatever. Pretty much,
Shatner's people said we didn't. The name of the band is the name of the band as per the band is the Uckers. So they censored it. We didn't censor it.
The Muckers. What are you guys? You guys have a filthy mind. What do you think it is?
The Muckers.
Yeah, well, you know, this is interesting, to say the least. Yeah. Apparently, Riot Fest has been courting William Shatner for over a decade to come to Riot Fest. And I guess they finally got him to say yes. So he has a group of folks, including some actual like metal folks. Phil Soussan, Britt Lightning. Fred Akings, and who's this last one? Marcus Nad? We'll be joining him on stage, apparently, on September 20th. This is kind of weird. He apparently has a crazy call sheet of demands that he is looking for said gig. So you guys, Scott, let me start with you. Did you see this announcement, and what are your thoughts?
I think it's hilarious. I don't know, man. I think it's gonna be funny. It's gonna be something
to see for sure.
He's boldly going where no 95-year-old has gone before, to quote Star Trek. I'm an old Trekkie, so I like, it's hilarious. But Shatner's always, he's always plugging away. Like, you don't even know he's that old. Like, I think a few years ago he was on Conan O'Brien, and it's like, he's still got it, you know, and he's, it's like, what, that guy's like that old. It's amazing. It's
Man,
very
how
hopeful.
Do you have the energy?
It's hopeful
front of
for
metal band at
humanity.
95. I mean, my grandpa was still going strong at 90 and still mowing his lawn, and you know, but
that dude's gonna be out there. Is he gonna be in like full Metal Gear? Is he gonna be like
I would
Robert
love
Halpert?
Like Judas like, Priest regalia. Oh, please, that would be amazing.
Pat Boone did a metal album, but that's not cool. I think Shatner doing it is
not
probably
cool.
Cooler.
Yeah. Well, apparently this isn't Shatner's like first like album thing. He's like done like rock albums and country albums before.
Well,
so
we did
like,
like in the 90s, Nick, me and Nick were just talking about this.
Well,
it was
in the 70s he had a spoken word record that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And in the 90s it became like a, you know, hipster ironic thing to like get into Shatner's, like Shatner sings the hits or whatever, and it's him doing like Rocket Man by Elton John. It's
Elton.
Freaking, it's classic. It's just the funniest. And he's like smoking a cigarette and he's like, I'm a rocket man. And he's, you know, he's known for his very dramatic acting style, like very overacting. And he's like, I'm a rocket man. Oh,
I
it's going to be a long,
that.
long time. You know, and he, it's just like, it was a touch, almost like a touch point for our Gen X generation to like, watch that, you know, it's like, it's too funny. But he's Shatner, TJ Hooker. I don't know, he, what Priceline is it?
Yeah,
yes,
Priceline.
Every generation knows him for something, you know.
Well, now he's going to be imparting his knowledge into the Riot Fest crowd. My favorite thing that he's possibly done is Shatner Claus.
That's right.
An
yeah,
entire album with Iggy Pop and co.
Oh my God.
On Christmas stuff.
How is that?
That one passed me by.
Dude,
wow.
I got to check it out.
That's a Christmas.
Is it good?
You're going to forget this, Scott, but I'm getting that for you for Christmas.
Oh, please do, dude. That would be amazing.
Be
I would love that.
You're not a
stock. I would love that.
Well, yeah. It's true Shatner magic there, you know? John, what is your thoughts about Riot Fest and Shatner?
Well, the background of this is Shatner's got an album coming out. People might know Shatner actually has dozens of albums.
Yeah.
He actually recorded an entire album with Ben Folds. I think it's called Has Been, and it's actually Bill Shatner and Ben Folds playing together.
Ben Folds, amazing.
Let's talk about Ben Folds real quick. Ben Folds is amazing. But Ben Folds is so much weirder than people think he is. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, dude, he's crazy.
He's weird.
Oh, he's awesome. He's so strange.
So, you know, I go back and forth on, for a while I was a really big Ben Folds fan. And then one day I'm like, you know what? Most of these songs are actually ballads and I can't stand ballads. And then I was like, not a fan anymore, but I'm back to being a fan again. I think
dude, my wife loves that band, loves him. Like, what was that one that came out in like 2008 or 9? The bitch went nuts. She threw my basketball and shit like that. Dude, crazy lyrics, but so good, man.
We're gonna censor that one, Scott.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's Ben Folds of all people.
What I find fascinating about Ben Folds is that he's got all these like lovey-dovey songs like Baby, you know, I'm the Luckiest, you know, all that. And he he's had like four wives because he keeps cheating on his wives.
Oh,
and
God.
Like his third wife was his yoga instructor, and he cheated on his second wife with the third wife, which is a yoga instructor. And then his fourth wife was a different yoga instructor, which I think is hilarious. So I and I'm not trying to dig up his dirty laundry. That's
all about the yoga.
That's funny shit, dude.
Ben Folds is so much weirder than people think he is. And for a while,
dude, absolutely.
For a while, he was living in Australia, and he did these interviews, and he was, like, looking, like, really haggard, and he had, like, this long beard and, like, dirty clothes. So, anyway, he's a fascinating guy. Anyways, I like a lot of
And people. And he made a record with Shatner, so that's like, puts it over the top.
I think he's made a couple of records with Shatner.
and Rollins is on it as well. So with Shatner, what it is, so Shatner's putting out a record on Cleopatra Records, and Cleopatra Records, and I haven't seen the deal, but basically what they do is say, we'll give you 20 grand, we'll give you 10 grand, we'll give you 5 grand, whatever, give us a record. And so the artist goes in for a day, lays down some vocals, and then Cleopatra owns the record. And a lot of the records just kind of toss off things, like it gets put in the distro, it gets out there, and everyone forgets about it. And like you wonder, like Cleopatra Records put out Wham Demos Remixed, and I'm like, who is buying Wham Demos Remixed? You know, or so they put out like a lot of stuff that is not of good quality, but they put out some really quality stuff too. The point being is, in true Shatner luck, this went from like it being a one-off throwaway cash thing to, oh, we're actually going to put you on the main stage of Riot Fest, which kudos to Riot Fest for keeping it spicy. You know, a lot of festivals are actually kind of boring in that it's all the same kind of thing. You got to throw in the spice, and I like that they're doing this weird thing Shatner does metal. It's also really impressive that Shatner is 95. People don't understand how old 95 is. The span from 50 to 60, not that bad. The span from 60 to 70 is a big span. The span from 70 to 80 is huge. The span from 80 to 90 is almost unthinkable. And he's 95 and he's doing this. And frankly, he doesn't look like he's 95. He looks like he's about 75, which is crazy.
Well, that hairpiece has lasted since TJ Hooker days in 1982 or whatever.
That hairpiece is putting in his work for sure.
The only thing is, hairpieces.
And I don't know how I feel about. I mean, I think it's cool that Riot Fest is doing this, but I don't know how I feel about this. Because Shatner famously is a total asshole. He's famously a total dick. He famously like pushes people out on the camera. Like if you listen to like his interaction with George Takei, I can get how George Takei might be exhausted. I love George Takei. I'm pro George Takei.
Love him. Yeah.
George Takei.
Yeah.
And so I'm definitely team Takei as opposed to team Shatner.
Yeah.
With that being said, is I don't like M. Moore, who's often on the podcast, getting a fight with this all the time. Is she wants all her favorite musicians to be nice and or quote good people. I don't want my musicians to be like monsters. Like I'm not gonna be a fan of Bill Cosby, but is Jimmy Page nice? I don't think so. You know, is David Lee Roth nice? I don't think so, and I don't care. So, but for some reason, it bothers me that Shatner's an asshole, and maybe the reason it's the same reason why I'm bothered by David Byrne. Is that on stage, he's, Shatner, you know, huggable, smiling Shatner. Everyone loves him. Oh, look, isn't he wacky? Isn't he, you know, silly? And really, if that's a character that he's portraying, and he's much more manipulative and sinister and mean-spirited. Whereas David Lee Roth is like, I'm David Lee Roth. I'm David Lee Roth. I'm here to rock and bang groupies. And that's what he does. You know what I mean? And so I think maybe that's what bothers me about Shatner, the same thing that bothers me with, well, a certain musician I'm always beating up on the Punk News podcast and the Punk News world that I'm not going to mention that Sam knows. And I think that's what bothers me about Shatner. So I think it's cool that Riot Fest is doing this. If I was going to Riot Fest, I would definitely go do this. I'm annoyed by Cleopatra Records, and I'm really annoyed by Shatner.
Wait, did you see the writer? Because the writer's insane.
That's not real. See, that's like a joke that Riot Fest does, is every year they make like a fake writer, and that's the joke.
Yeah, but like even though this is fake, this is insane.
It is funny.
I do hope. Okay, so pretty much William Shatner's writer is asking for certain things from Chicago, from Riot Fest, and from hospitality. So one of the things that they're asking for is a prominently displayed Riot Fest billboard with Shatner's face on it and the face of one lucky fan. So they want a billboard somewhere, which is crazy. They want a food item tribute to Shatner, which will definitely happen regardless, right? And he wants to co-anchor the weather with a Chicago, like, beloved meteorologist. So this is, like, stuff that
to me, that's a win-win for Chicago right there. You get Shatner for the week and co-anchoring weather and doing his, like, really over-dramatic acting while about the weather, you know?
Exactly. So the one thing that I want out of this real or fake writer is an intro video created by Gwar. I want Gwar to introduce him. This has to happen in my eyes, at least.
that would be amazing. Gwar. What about Corey Feldman? Bring him in the mix.
Did he play last year or something?
I would pick Shatner's band 1,000 times over Feldman. That's just me. I don't know.
Well, he did also bring in he does want apparently a one Montreal Canadiens hockey sweater signed by John Stamos because John Stamos has shown up to Riot Fest before. So that's a tie-in to another Riot Fest thing. And 8 pallets of Faygo, not to be shared with ICP.
Okay.
I didn't think that he was going to be like into Faygo, but fine. Maybe he might be a Faygo lover. I don't know.
Sam, do you think this is like his publicist putting all this on there, or this is like Shatner brainstorming, like, I want this, I want that?
Well, J John kind of mentioned it.
Well,
It's probably Riot Fest,
it's Riot Fest doing it,
that's
yeah.
why. Oh, okay.
Which is, again, great promotion for if you have a sense of humor. But yes, Riot Fest is doing their thing. Apparently, get tickets to Riot Fest to see William Shatner come out and apparently do metal, which has not been released yet, so we don't know what kind of metal this is. We will see, or you guys will see in Chicago. Who knows?
No power ballads.
Yeah, no power ballads because John said
Hopefully it's
no.
speed metal.
No. Speed metal. Yeah.
That'd be rad.
Last
Oh,
beats. Yeah, dude.
it would be crazy if Shatner came out in a coffin.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Or left
Yeah.
in a, well,
Well,
left
you
in
guys,
a coffin.
that's an Iggy Pop thing. Iggy Pop just played a festival where they carried him off in a coffin, which is like the coolest thing ever.
Well,
Dude, that's pretty sick.
it would be it, like he could just sit in the coffin and do his thing, you know?
And just stand up
Scott,
and
didn't you
sing.
guys in Independence play in coffins, like some
Yeah,
of
Evil will get out of a coffin sometime. Well, they did. I don't know if they still do it, but Evil would get out of a coffin.
Yeah.
Like, the three front men would
Did you
get
have to
off.
carry him out there like the rest of the band? That
Yeah,
was cool.
and then we leave him.
So
So you
Shatner could be.
had three coffins on tour? How
Yeah, three. Yeah. Like the
that
basins,
work?
it sucked. It was hard. It sucked loading
For
out the
real?
end of the night.
You're serious? I was
Yeah.
joking.
No, I'm dead serious. There's pictures. Look up pictures of the Independents, dude. Like with the coffins.
Wow.
So the guitarist, the bassist, and Evil would all come out at the beginning. The lights would get low, and then they would have their spooky little like thing or whatever song, and then the coffins would open up, and they
Wow.
would step out and start.
Were they real coffins? Like, did
Yeah,
you go and buy real coffins?
one of them they had before me, and the other one was like the vampire ones that they made, like that
Oh,
you can like fit into,
yeah.
but barely. But they had a one real one, like a heavy ass one, like a real one from a funeral home.
Wow.
In the 90s when they were on Hellcat, they had four real ones, but they got
Wow.
rid of them. Yeah.
Wait, so how is this
We're
not
never
in the
going to be
punk rock
that.
museum?
Oh, I don't know.
man.
I mean, like the
That's
queers cat.
commitment.
Yeah, that needs to be the queers cabinet. The queers are here that they always had. That's in the punk rock museum. But I don't know why the coffins aren't. They should be. I
Yeah.
don't know. Maybe they don't know where they are. Who knows?
Or maybe someone's
They're being
actually
used.
buried in one.
Buried in
Yeah,
them. Yeah. They
they were
I
just
wouldn't doubt
on
it.
loan. Those things are expensive, so they probably like got them from the funeral home and had to
I
return
wouldn't
them.
be surprised if someone, dug someone up in that band, knowing the members of that band.
Oh my God.
Sam's like,
So we just got a whole bunch of coffin talk.
wow.
Instead
Yeah, sorry
of
about that.
coffee talk,
Going
coffin talk.
all coffin talk,
Coffin talk.
Well,
Shatter talk.
speaking of coffins, apparently Fat Mike has now started a vodka business. So his vodka is called Fatty's Bottom Shelf. Apparently, according to Mike, he personally tasted over five different recipes of very similar tasting vodkas before he decided that he couldn't really tell the difference between all of them. So he asked the professional vodka makers to which one was easiest to make, and that is what we got. We pretty much had good enough vodka that is now labeled with Fat Mike's face on it. The booze is 40% alcohol, and apparently you can buy a package of it with a Fat Mike 7-inch of two songs. It's actually funny because when I was like looking up this vodka company, there's actually vodka recipes that they have recommended, and
Penny
one
a
of
la vodka.
one of which is a White Russian, which if you know anything about Fat Mike
Oh,
and
like
Cokie
right,
the
yeah.
Clown, he had
Yeah,
an entire White Russian ordeal.
yeah.
John, what are your thoughts about this vodka business? Would you actually drink the vodka?
Well, I mean, it's not that I don't drink, but I just kind of don't drink. So no, I would not drink it. But if someone was like, John, try the Fat Mike vodka, so you can say you've tried the Fat Mike vodka, I would try it. I would say the differences or quality of vodka would be lost on me. So I and famously, vodka all tastes the same. So I do
It
think it's
does.
hilarious that Mike is like, all vodka tastes the same. This is bottom shelf vodka. Buy it because if you want vodka, I think that's
Just buy
funny.
mine, right? Like,
Right. I think.
why spend money on Grey Goose? You buy mine, right? Like,
And
it's gonna taste the same. Throw it in the freezer, you're good.
I think that's very Fat Mike, very NoFX, and you know, kind of punk prankish, which I enjoy.
It's on brand.
I don't. I mean, I wrote this article that Fat Mike starts vodka, which is true. But really, what I think happened is the vodka company was like, "Fat Mike, can we put out a vodka with your name on like a lot of coffee companies do or beer companies do?" And I think that's what happens. I think it's neat that he's kind of going the extra mile and say, "Well, you can get a 7-inch exclusive to this vodka," which I think is amusing. My question with this is, oh,
Yeah.
there you go.
This is Scott Brewing's Taster's Choice of Pie Tasters.
There you go. The taste your choice, pie taster's beer.
I occasionally play keyboards in that band and guitar, so this is one of the from Scott Brewing in where is that? In Durango. I played out there with them.
And so I wonder if this is going to be really be a long-term thing. Is there going to be a Fat Mike vodka 5 years from now, or is this like a thing that's going to be around for 3 months and that's it? But either way, I don't think it matters because it's the joke has been made and it's kind of funny. And I'm not even a huge Novak guy, but I think the joke is funny. I think it's cool he's putting out a 7-inch, and I think I mean, what's wrong with wacky fun? So I think it's amusing. And also one other, I think the difference here is I get a little annoyed when like Tim Armstrong and Lars Fredrickson like sell his action figures. And he'll charge like $400 for like a Ninja Turtle or something, and people will buy it just because it's Lars Fredrickson's Ninja Turtle, you know? Which or Tim Armstrong will do these paintings, and people spend like $5,000 on them. And it's like, well, if it wasn't made by Tim Armstrong, I don't think that would be a $5,000 painting. And so, to me, to a degree, some of that feels a little manipulative of the fans, and that they're not really buying a painting, they're not really buying a quote action figure, they're buying a piece of Tim Armstrong, they're buying a piece of Lars Fredrickson, which I think is a little iffy. This is $30 for vodka with Mike's name on it, low entry fee, amusing, and I
Wait,
saw
wait. $30?
$30 for
$30?
decent or okay vodka.
I will pay
12.50,
vodka.
12.99? Come on.
Well,
It's
at any
not
rate.
bottom of the barrel then. Come on.
Well, there you go. At any rate, I think it's cheap enough and it's funny enough. I think that's cool that Mike's doing that, and it's wacky fun, and I'm all for
Yeah.
wacky fun.
For sure, for
Well,
sure.
I have a thing because I'm like, oh, so you package this with a 7-inch. Is this seven? Because you know I'm a record collector, and John is too. Is this 7-inch like limited? I was like, how is this gonna work? I was
Yeah.
like, are you just gonna get this 7-inch? That with two songs. Also, we don't really know the song. He did kind of preview it in one of the videos. But like, how is this going to work? Because if this is like a limited run vodka and you only have so many packages of 7-inches and you only have so many packages for the vodka, I get that. But if this vodka is long, it's going to be here for like 5+ years, right? This is Fatty's vodka forever. Like how what's gonna happen with that?
They're just going to repress it and repress it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it's because the other thing is like NoFX fans are notorious for like buying a lot of NoFX records because of limited quantities and
Exactly.
colors. So it's kind of like how is he
They were
commodifying
smart.
that?
They do a like a variant, you know what I mean? So the first 30 or first like 300 have this color, and then the second, so they keep
Flavor,
it.
different flavors, right?
Like, yeah, different flavor, or even get different pressings, get different colors, things like that. And of course, you have those collectors like me who I love Iron Sheik. I grew up with Jay Lebreno, like literally three houses down. He taught me how to smoke pot. So like I have, not like this on every single color. My wife wants to kill me. She's like, "You had the same record, but it's the variant and this color, and this was the dead broke one and the first press, and now this is the side 1W repress."
Yeah,
It's like,
if they made vodka, then you'd have that too. Like,
yeah,
so maybe there's
absolutely.
definitely like NoFX fans, Fat Mike fans that will have this and cherish it, right?
Exactly.
I know Iron Maiden fans all have that Iron Maiden beer, which I haven't tried it, but if you're an Iron Maiden fan, you have to have it, apparently. The Trooper.
Yeah, the trooper.
Yeah, well, I wonder if they're ever going to like release pressing info for this 7-inch. He also didn't say it was limited.
I think they probably whipped up like 300, 500 copies, and that's going to be that. I don't think this vodka has a long-term lifespan, frankly, and I think that's fine. My question, Sam, is I was 50-50 on buying the vodka 6-pack to get the 7-inch just to foot the 7-inch. I did not, but what do you think the 7-inch will be worth 2 years from now? Is this going to be a $500 7-inch like some of that NoFX stuff, or is this going to be a $30 7-inch?
Well, I think that was the question, right? I was like, it depends on how many is pressed. Because if they did like a run of like 3,000, and we don't know what the deal is with this. I would have to say, I was like, this is like brand spanking new, and it apparently looks like you could still order it, because a lot of times whenever Fat Mike releases a thing into the ether, it's sold out like really quickly. So you can still get your Fatty's vodka if you want. But yeah, I don't know. Like, J John, is it worth it to you to have like six bottles of this basic vodka that you might be able to use as normal rubbing alcohol?
No, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, honestly, that's what the risk assessment came down to, Sam. It's like, I can't really sell. Like, one time I had this okay bottle of wine that was worth like maybe $60, and I couldn't even give it away. And I ended up giving it to my mailman. He got like creeped out by that. You know what I mean? Like, I literally couldn't even give it away. So I can't imagine trying to give away or sell $30 bottle of vodka. You know what I mean? So I would have to just give it away at Christmas time or something.
Drink it.
And then would the 7-inch be worth that much more, a year from now or whatever?
Wait, I just had a thought, John.
What's that?
You might be able to have sold this vodka, the six bottles of vodka, at a record freakout to get more people drunk.
Yeah, well, maybe, but then I'm always worried about selling alcohol because someone will drink it and they get in a car accident and then I'll get sued and I don't have a license to sell alcohol. So I'm very like worried about that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know what the risk analysis of buying six packs of Fatty's bottom shelf when it's bottom shelf alcohol just to get a 7-inch.
But Tim, there's actually one other thing is, I know there's Cokie the Clown, but is this the first official Fat Mike solo release? Are there any other Fat Mike solo releases?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it's just Cokie. 'Cause he's done like, Sing Us Home, like, his like show tunes, Broadway stuff. But that's usually like, a whole bunch of people involved in that.
So there's Fat Mike and Dustin Lanker that did a soundtrack in 2012 called Rubber Bordello, very on brand for Mike.
Yes.
And then of course there's Fat Mike Gets Strung Out, but that's not a solo release because that's Fat Mike with this guy called Bastien Brisson. So I
Yeah.
believe this is the first step. Now you could argue all NoFX is Fat Mike solo, but that being said, I think this, aside from Cokie the Clown, which I guess Cokie the Clown is technically, this is the first Fat Mike solo under the name Fat Mike. I'll say that.
Correct. Yeah, this is not his alter ego or anything. It's actually funny because one of the videos that he posted for this, he goes, quote, "I don't play with NoFX anymore. Kind of sad, said it a little bit sad. Whatever. I stay home and play with myself every day." This could be taken in two ways.
Are you all concerned about Fat Mike's substance issues? Because if you watch the documentary, that has been an issue in the past and still might be an issue. Are you all concerned? Is this celebrating someone who might have a problem, or does it have it under control? Or is that not really our problem? I've got a definite opinion. My opinion is it's not really our problem. People can do what they want to do. You can't be other people's nannies. And Mike's going to do what he wants to do. And also, as anyone that has worked with addicts, and I'm not saying Fat Mike is an addict, but as anyone that has worked with addicts knows, is you can't get an addict to get help until the addict is ready to get help. Mark that, Sam. Mark that.
I will mark that, and I agree with you. Totally agree with you. I don't think that this is our issue. I would have to say this is definitely the issue of his loved ones around him and who he surrounds with. You know, that's usually the folks that will do interventions for people because they care about you.
But here's the real question. Do interventions even work? Because doesn't it, and this is, I mean, we're getting off track, but do interventions work? Because an intervention is a surprise. And so if the person doesn't want to get help themselves, then what's the point of trying to convince them to get help? Or are you supposed to do an intervention when you think the person is ready, that they want help, and this is how you kick off them getting help because they want help? Like, if someone doesn't want help, to me, there's no point in doing an intervention because they don't want to get help.
They got to want it themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to want to change if he wants to change. And I think his family and friends could probably help coax him into that. But he's going to need to want it. He might also be fine. I don't know.
He might be fine.
Yeah, Fat Mike's the type of person that jokes a lot. So what we know of him as his public persona might not actually be him. Who knows? I don't know. John, do we even know who Fat Mike is?
I have an idea.
Okay. Yeah, well, you would.
And I would say, how can I phrase this? Well, I'll tell you like this. I had one bad interaction with Mike that really annoyed me. And then afterwards, I had about two or three that I said, you know what? Mike's being a really good guy here. So that's how I'll phrase that.
That checks out, I guess.
Maybe he was having a bad day, Sam. Maybe he was having a bad day.
We're all entitled to our really bad days.
Yeah, so what I'll say is I've seen Fat Mike be a dick to someone that really made me mad, but then he was really, really nice to that same person a year later and really, really nice to a couple of other people totally unrelated. So maybe he was having a bad day, you know, and I think that's kind of the deal with Fat Mike, you know. So overall, I would say I like Mike. How do you like that, Sam? Overall, I like Mike.
I would think that you like Mike, and I do like Mike as an individual. The couple times that I bumped into him, you know, at shows, but yeah. Okay, so next thing, John, why don't you tell me about Culture Shock?
Oh yeah, Culture Shock. They got a new record. They're putting out a new digital single. Of course, Culture Shock is the band between Subhumans and Citizen Fish. It's basically most of Citizen Fish at this point.
Yes.
It's Dick Lucas doing kind of Gang of Four type music, but any more Culture Shock is actually more ska-ish than they used to be. Culture Shock is definitely my favorite Dick Lucas band. There's a box set, a 3-CD box set that's got all the original Culture Shock stuff on it. It's incredible. I think these two songs are pretty good. Didn't blow my mind, but I think they're real good. I'm always happy to see that Culture Shock is doing stuff. I think it's hilarious that Dick Lucas has like three active bands at once: Subhumans, Culture Shock, and Citizen Fish. I saw Culture Shock, and actually, this actually is somewhat timely. Is literally this month is the 10-year anniversary of the last time Culture Shock played USA, and quite sadly, it's the 10-year anniversary when it was Culture Shock, World Inferno, and Mischief Brew, which was the very last ever Mischief Brew show ever. R.I.P. to Eric. Quite sad. So it's time that this came out then. And so yeah, I think it's cool. I hope Culture Shock plays USA. They put out a new record. I'll definitely buy it. I like Culture Shock. My mind isn't blown by this, but it is impressive at how much energy and how genuine Dick Lucas. If you ever had an interaction with Dick Lucas, Dick Lucas, the person, is the guy on stage. And I love Culture Shock. I like Subhumans. I like Citizen Fish. This is real cool. That's my opinion, Sam.
Awesome. Nick, do you have a opinion.
It's funny having, you know, been going back to the 90s and ska scene in the US. I have a, you know, it's sad to say, like, I know Citizen Fish, but I don't know Culture Shock. So checking that out, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I want us to tour with them. You know, like,
Yeah.
these are the bands we like to play with. We like to play with every type of band, but certainly that's like, you know, playing with a ska punk band, and they seem to have some good ideals. And like what you're saying about the singer, sounds like he's quite the character and has and lives his true self. He's a genuine person who's not gonna tolerate any bullshit in his life. That's fantastic. Whenever I meet people like that that are have committed their life to their music and live their life how they want to be. So that's the vibe I get from them, and that's cool, man. I'm a new fan, so.
Yeah, he definitely walks the walk and talks the talk, dude. There's not a lot of that, you know. And he's really genuine. He really believe, you know, he preaches, you know, he practices what he preaches for real. There's no difference
Citizen Fish,
between
that's
the
really good.
stage and the
Speaking
street,
of,
you know.
yeah, exactly, Scott. And they definitely have some great, you know, socio-political lyrics and you know, kind of document what's going on over there when from any record I listen to of theirs. I'm like, yeah, that's they're kind of saying it like it is. Some serious topics and some fun ones too. So yeah, it's cool. Hook us
Yeah,
up. We'll open them when they come.
I kind of love, like, if you look at their like Bandcamp, with these two songs, they have this blurb and it says, "Reflecting the deranged times we live in, the confusion of facts and opinions and the endless social political chaos." Like that this seems to be like an ongoing thing that's happening in multiple places in this world. And I kind of like love the fact that like we're all saying the same things and or feeling the same things that's happening. Is the world just chaos at this point?
Yes, it
Yeah.
is. Yes, it is, Sam.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't think so, but whatever. But yeah, I guess we like Culture Shock. That's good, right?
That was hilarious. Sam's like, "Is the world chaos?" And they're like, "Yes, it is." And
Yes, that's
I
a
agree. I agree.
fact.
Yes, it is, Sam. Yes, it is, Sam.
Look.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes Sam could be really punny, very punny. Okay, so another really cool thing that is happening is, so Gray Area, they're from my neck of the woods here, and they're
Oh,
back.
love that band,
Yeah.
Alex. Hi, Alex. I love Alex, dude. He's my old friend of mine.
Yeah, I adore this band, and I'm so happy because they literally released a new single. It's called "You and I." It's pretty much the new material that they've ever put out in about over a decade almost. For context, their drummer Vinnie Values passed away in 2020, so essentially that has kind of, I guess, stopped some processes that has happened in said band, but apparently they're back with new material, and this track specifically has Dave Wagon Shoots of, you know, Kid Dynamite and all of that on drums for them. Did you guys listen to the song and did you like
Yeah,
it?
really like it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the band as well as Scott, but I know the bands they're all from, and it kind of gave a Dag Nasty vibe. You know, I was a big fan of them, and you know,
Yeah.
has a really nice melodic, like real melodic song structure, and that's right up my alley. I want to get that for sure. And
Yes.
the
I've
full.
loved Gray Area for a really long time. And it's crazy that Alex was in the Lillingtons for a long time. And I kind of lost track of him. And then I ran into him at Fest. And we're like, holy shit. Like, I haven't seen you forever because we're both Long Island kids.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And then I think it's rad that the dude from Kid Dynamite is playing drums. I love Kid Dynamite. They're one of my favorite hardcore bands of all time. They changed the scope of things, you know, like they took the Lifetime sound and just made it like way more aggressive. But yeah, dude, that drummer is incredible. I love that Alex is still writing the songs and is great. I love it. I'm excited for the full length on Creep. It's gonna be rad.
Apparently there has not been much released about this album besides its the singles currently
Yeah.
on Creep Records, but I do anticipate me buying it at least because
Oh,
me and my
come
husband, we love Gray Area. We love almost everything that Ernie has put out. And we're really stoked that they're back. I think there is a really interesting backstory to this album, so we'll see what happens there. But yeah, no.
on.
John, do you even listen to Gray Area? Are you into this?
I mean, I thought it was okay. It reminded me of Bouncing Souls, Sam. I know you're a big Bouncing Souls fan, so it kind of reminded me of Bouncing Souls.
Yeah.
I think it's all
That
right.
a bad thing?
But speaking of Kid Dynamite, I saw Dan Yemen on Saturday, I think it was. And you know, Dan Yemen recently played with Painted Black. I mean, he's in Painted Black. Painted Black opened the Ink and Dagger show. I asked him what's happening with Painted Black. I asked him what's happening with Ink and Dagger, and even
Was
what's the other band?
Colin playing it? Sorry, dude. Was Colin playing guitar with him again?
In Painted Black,
Yeah.
I don't think it was him. Andy, who's on guitar? Andy's on guitar. Is Andy on bass?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Andy's
Yeah.
on bass.
Oh, then I don't know who's on. I honestly don't know. But anyways, so he was vague about everything. So who knows what's going to happen in the Dan Yemen world? But it's always nice to see Dan. Oh, this blew my mind. Sam, what do you think Dan Yemen's first favorite band was? This really shocked me.
Wham.
First favorite band.
Good guess, not Wham. I'll give everybody two guesses.
Is it Black Flag?
No. I would expect something like Black Flag, but not.
Twisted Sister.
You're in the right area, but not Twisted Sister.
Motley.
Dokken. Sort of in the right area, not Dokken.
Wait,
Oh.
hold on, John. Are you trying to get like Punk Jeopardy questions? Is this what's
Yeah, dude,
happening?
my
What
God.
is Dan Yemen's favorite first
Bon
favorite band?
Jovi. Bon Jovi.
Close but not correct. Dan Yemen's first favorite band, Kiss, interestingly enough.
Oh,
Kiss.
that's a lot of people's, you know, I mean.
I love Kiss, dude. Kiss is awesome, bro. That's a
How did this conversation happen?
I don't know. Because of Dan Yemen.
Gray
Because
area
Dan
sounds
Yemen
like Kiss.
always.
That's what
Yeah.
he's saying. No.
Yeah. Dan Yemen's first favorite band was Kiss.
That's true.
I'm confused.
How did that happen to him? He was looking at a bunch of records. He was particularly I'm never sure if someone actually wants to talk or they're just being polite, but it seemed like he wanted to like hang out for a long time, which is cool. I'm down to hang out with Dan Yemen for sure. We were talking records, and he's looking at Kiss records. I'm like, that's weird that Dan Yemen's looking at Kiss records, only because he was so dismissive of the Rolling Stones, which enraged me. But
Yeah, dude, I would be enraged too.
I hear you. I hear you.
Charlie Watts is the man.
I agree 100%. Well said. But Dan Yemen apparently loves Kiss and he was looking at Kiss records, and I was surprised to see that he loves Kiss.
Wait, so
Huh.
he has a Kiss collection?
He does. Huge.
Wow.
So
And
do I. I'm not gonna
like,
st I have the light up heads. My and like one of those like felt light up things from the 80s. My wife loves Kiss, dude. She has the busts, like DL, totally. I love it. Me and my wife love hair metal, like
wait, so
glam hair metal.
does her Kiss collection rival your Iron Sheik collection?
Almost, almost. I have three lot Kiss Alives. I have two alive, two. I have two just, yeah, it's almost about the same. Yeah, I think I have two more Iron Sheiks, but like she has a lot.
These guys, they've turned to frowns listening to this about Kiss.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Well, John and I were record collectors, so we talk about records all the time. Kiss or not Kiss,
Yeah.
it's a thing apparently, and apparently variants are a thing because I also have like too many Bouncing Souls variants of things.
Oh my gosh, dude. From when they got McDermott on, that band was fire. Like I used to see him all the time and I was like, okay, they're okay band. And when Summer Vacation got out, when they put out Summer Vacation, I'm like, who is this band? Like, they're incredible. They changed dynamically, like Greg's vocals stepped up, like they just caught fire all of a sudden. You're like, holy shit. And that's like from 2000 on, they're like, this band's untouchable. But like before that, they were just like, you know, okay. But then they got like,
that's not a
you know
official,
exactly what I'm talking about.
Hold on, that's not official. Nick and the Adversaries, you know, line of that.
This is my Scott line.
That's a personal opinion here.
Yeah, we they got know, amazing. They caught fire when they got McDermott.
That doesn't represent the full band.
Yeah, this is me. I'm sorry.
The Dolls are awesome, and they always have.
They're a great band. I love them. Much, I'm so just saying they caught fire when they got McDermott. It changed the whole sound.
Well, I agree. They're McDermott's awesome. But
it's interesting. Yeah. Nick says the Bouncing Souls have always be off. Were always awesome because literally yesterday, the day before, I heard the very first Bouncing Souls EP for the first time. Sam, have you heard that record?
Yes.
It's like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What?
Have you heard the very first Bouncing Souls record? It's like the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, maybe not that one.
Sam, do you like that record? That the very first one?
Nope.
So what happened? Is it a situation where they wanted to be like funk rock and then realized that was over, so they became
it's
funk?
Foggy. The time periods are foggy to me, but I think when they were on my radar, like what, 96, 97.
Well, Joe Lies was when everything changed for them. Dude, go back and watch that.
I don't know. I don't remember
93. Dude, watched that DVD like religiously.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I'm talking about right there.
So like Joe Lies came out in 93 and that like came out, that changed Pete. It was like that song changed everything. And then they did like the Argyle EP with like Quick Check Girl and then the Creep, the split 7-inch on Creep Records. Like that was like, that's when they got in more to punk rock and they signed to BYO. And when Lifetime first took them out like that, that's when they started like being a punk band, you know? Because they were all over the place, dude. Watch that documentary. Like, do you remember that came out in like I think it was like 2004 or something.
Check it out.
But
yeah, that was definitely in the aughts, that out that documentary. And I think they need a new documentary actually, because it's been several years.
20 years and two drummers later, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, they need a new one. They definitely need a new one because a lot has happened, you know, since then.
Yeah, a lot has changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot.
So were the Bouncing Souls always a punk band and someone tried to convince them to play the music du jour? Or were they like a rap funk band and they said, no, we got to get it onto the punk rock because this is the cool new thing?
I think kind of they were just like trying to find their sound. I mean, they liked punk rock, you know, in the 80s. They loved the Ramones and all that stuff. I just think they were, you know, like every high school band, junior high band does. You're going to find your sound and then you find like, it clicks, like the light goes off. You're like, you write that one song, you're like, oh shit, this is the direction we need to go, you know? And I think it was just more of like, okay, we love punk rock, and now this just comes out like, oh shit, it clicked. Like, you know, you're trying to find like yourself and yourself musically, and then it finally clicks. You're like, whoa, you know?
Scott, I think we're on something. Maybe our next record's like kind of country rock, like America.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God.
Then we find ourselves.
Y'all, country band.
Yeah, that's
well. You could try to get Shatner to do guest vocals.
We got pulled over, and we didn't get a ticket. But the nice officer leaned in. We were going to play this thing, Scottchester Music Fest on Friday night.
Rochester last weekend.
The cop leans in over Scott's window, and he goes, you know, because he wants to smell if there's anything, you know, he smells alcohol, and we're sober. And he's like, you guys a band? We said, yeah. He said, you play country? We're like, do we look like we play country? God, I mean,
dude, I'm having
but maybe we're up to something, you know?
Yeah. It's like unreal, dude. It was so funny. And it's like 1 in the morning. We're 5 minutes from our hotel. Because we had left the night before because we're old and we don't like to drive 7 hours and play. The guy just leans in, was like, dude, we're 5 minutes, we're all
tired.
We play
both music, country and western. That's
country and western.
That's from the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, the movie's great.
Anyway.
Well, it might be good that you told them you're a country band.
No, yeah, no, we didn't tell. There, he asked us.
No, yeah. I know, but like, you know, confirm.
Oh,
yes,
I know,
we're a country band.
What did we say? Did we just go,
Yeah, we laughed. But which was even weirder, it was just upstate New York.
Okay,
Yeah.
I don't get why is there so much country upstate New York? I don't understand it.
It's at any, yeah, you're in the
So
woods.
upstate New York is weird because you have New York City, and then
Yeah,
there's a
I'm a
lot of nothing that
farmland.
happens in between.
I get it, but it's like,
We like to
I
do the
don't.
drive to Montreal like every year or so, or
Yeah.
we go to Canada because we can, for now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of nothing up there, a lot of trees. Like the air Adirondacks is beautiful.
Very
However,
nice.
there's nothing there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's like
A
here,
couple
like there's a
cops
lot of
who want, who want to meet
country
their
stations
quota.
here too. So crazy.
Yeah. Can't
Yeah,
wait to
maybe
see.
this is just a northeast thing. I don't know. You just get the pocket cities and then stuff and trees.
It's weird. Like, I don't
Cool.
get it. It's weird. Like, we're close to New York City, dude. Like, we're 4 hours. Like, we live in Boston. Why is there country stations? I mean, I understand, like, a little bit, but there's, like, a lot of them. There's, like, more than rock stations.
I
And.
think actually, Scott, we had like some weird Christian station on just for, it's late at night.
Oh, yeah.
It was some kind of like biblical story going on. I was like, this is, you want to hear like talking like you tune into a podcast, right? And it was
Yeah.
like just when that guy flashed his lights, I'm like, I should have been like, we're listening to a good Christian station, officer.
Wait, hold on. Why? Oh, in this day, we have technology for everything. We have streaming, we have all that. Why are you listening to the radio?
Because
I had my wife's car, and
it's we didn't have
I couldn't hook up my, what do you call
the
it?
phone.
My
Yeah.
Bluetooth.
Bluetooth.
It's a
Yeah, it
Honda
was.
CRV.
Yeah, my brother
So
doesn't have one either that you can't even put a
was like,
Bluetooth or
we were on some like classic rock station or something, and then it goes, and then all of a sudden we heard,
Yeah.
and then Noah went over to Jerusalem and whatever it is, and it's like, and then woo, I was like,
Yeah, dude.
what
And
was
it
that?
was the weirdest thing.
And
It
the
was so.
smoke up there, that was crazy
Yeah,
too.
the fire,
It was
the
biblical. It
fire,
was a
the
biblical
wildfires.
situation. Yeah.
It was just a weird night. It was crazy.
Anyway.
Oh
Yeah.
boy.
On
Well,
that note.
on that note, we're gonna shut this on down. Do you guys have any final words before I play your last tune?
Thanks for having us. This is awesome.
Yeah, we had
You
a
guys are
thank
fun.
you so much. Had a really fun time with you guys. It was awesome hanging out.
Cool.
Siren, klaxon, bark, sound system. The street not far from downtown. Dread at the controls with the steppers beat. Ragamuffin MCs moving people's feet. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
and it plays really loud in the park across the street, not far from downtown.